do you have any more recent information on the budget situation?
I just don't. I know that the legislature is, of course, anticipating in the executive branch shortfalls in revenue from sales taxes and income taxes in the case where there haven't been as many sales and as much income. But I haven't seen any particular crafted proposals because people are talking about needing to cut the budget to make up for these revenue losses. But I have not seen any specific proposals, even now, and maybe I missed something, but I haven't seen a specific date for coming back in. I would guess that maybe they'll come back in July, but what they will act upon, if they feel they need to pass a budget, I just don't know. And as you may recall, that Connecticut now operates with a two-year budget. But they really almost always work on the budget, even halfway through the two-year budget, to at least fine-tune the second year of the two-year budget, which will start July 1st. But the need isn't as great to take action because there is a budget that's in law. So I think they'll want to come back in to do a budget, but I just don't know when. And I don't know what at this point. There may be people at high levels crafting some proposals, but they haven't been shared with me or shared publicly just yet.
Okay, thank you. I guess the next agenda item is me. It's report from the FSB director. And at this point, I would like to defer to Chris Lassen, so he may introduce the staff person, Margie Santos, and talk a little bit about how things are being structured with her being brought on board. And then Margie could have a couple moments to just talk a little bit about her background as it relates to deafblindness. So, Chris?
Thank you very much, Brian. Many of you remember Marsha Brown, who for many years worked to facilitate a lot of the operations behind the scenes and during the meetings of the Deafblind Advisory Committee. Marsha retired on December 31st. And in the months thereafter, we were fortunate to be able to advertise for a couple of social worker replacements. We did that, and sometime in March, we're fortunate enough to be able to hire two new social workers, one of whom is Margie Santos, who is assuming a lot of the responsibilities of case management for our clients with deafblindness, and also doing a lot of the work along with me at the beginning, facilitate the operation of the Deafblind Advisory Committee and process our payments to our vendors. So Margie Santos is on the call, and she will be, as I said, not just working with clients with deafblindness, but also covering a caseload of our clients in northwestern Connecticut. But it will be smaller than the typical geographic area in recognition of the need for her to provide some intensive case management. So I would like to introduce Margie and ask her to tell you a little bit about herself.
This is Margie Santos. Thank you, Chris, for that introduction. I just like to speak a little bit about myself, and I'm hired as the new social worker. And my personal background is I'm married to a man who was mainstream, but he does have Usher syndrome type 2. When we first got the diagnosis of him going to be losing his vision. I went to school at Hoyle Community College to learn sign language, and I took the Deaf Studies program. I then furthered my education to become a rehabilitation and disability counselor, and I have a master's in case management, and I'm a certified rehabilitation counselor. I've worked for nonprofit agencies that work with individuals who are visually impaired and that have also like their youth in transition, and so they were learning different like career explorations. I also worked in group homes that had individuals who were, they're all deaf, all the staff were deaf, and the individuals that were in the group home, they had intellectual disabilities. And I have experience as a program coordinator working with clients that have a disability for the Walgreens Ready program. That's a program that takes clients that have a disability and they place them in a Walgreens and they teach them different customer service skills and just how to facilitate the individual to obtain a job. And then lastly, I also work with in collaborating with, I'm from Massachusetts, so I worked with Mass Rehabilitation Commission and Mass Hire along with the CS. And we were able to get out of our 12 students that we had that had different types of disabilities, they all varied. We were able to place 9 of our 12 students that had a disability into CVS pharmacies and working as a pharmacy technician. And then lastly, I'm very familiar with the SFP services from Massachusetts, which is the DBCAN Connect, or DBCAN. Sorry, I'm thinking of ICANN Connect. That's the other program. DBCAN is a program that is very similar to the CAN program in Connecticut. It was started by Elizabeth Darm. And at the time, it was approximately 20 years ago I started with that. I've been an on and off provider with them. When things were kind of like very busy for me in school, I would take time off. And then when they'd need me again, I would work. But so I've been on and off with working with people that, you know, for the SSP services. So that's a little bit about, you know, my background and history and stuff. I'm very much an advocate at heart. Like, that is my heart, to help people and to advocate for them so they can, people can do things, and it's society that puts the barriers on them, and that really frustrates me and bothers me when I see, like, the barriers that are in place right now with the COVID and the pandemic. It's very frustrating to see how people that have a visual impairment and that are deaf, they cannot communicate, and they're being, in my opinion, they're being very isolated, and that really bothers me. And so hopefully we can get some other accommodations, like working with the government and things like that, to facilitate getting out into the community. And my personal belief is if an SSP worker would like to work with somebody who has, deaf blindness, if the two of them have agreed, communicated with each other that they're going to go out, my personal belief is they should be able to make that decision themselves, but that's just my personal opinion. But I will come under and submit myself to what the agency's rules are. But that's just how I kind of feel with my heart, to facilitate all communication. So that's just a little bit about me. And then I will be taking over clients that receive the CAN services and also the Northwest Territory, the Northwest Territory of Connecticut. I'm looking forward to starting. It's kind of been difficult starting from home, but I'm very grateful that I'm able to start from home. I've been doing a lot of training with the other social workers, with conferences on like this conference call. So it's been very beneficial for me to be home and to learn the different things. I'm up for the task. So that's all I have.
Well, thank you, Marjorie. That was an impressive background, and I'm so glad what you intend to do.
Hannah, excuse me. This is Lisa. I have a comment. Hi, Margie. It's very nice to meet you. I'm very surprised that you've been hired, but at the same time, I'm very excited by it. I had wanted a deafblind social worker, and honestly, there was a little bit of a disappointment because you are hearing. I realize that you have a lot of experience, but I was, you know, looking forward to working with a deafblind person to help educate the community about deafblind needs. So I'm a little bit surprised that you were hired, that you've been hired, because I didn't have any information on it. I wasn't notified about it. So I hope that there will be more deafblind persons hired and working in Besby. You know, I mean, it's just, again, this is my opinion, and it is very nice to meet you, but I just think it would be a great benefit for Besby. This is Margie. I understand, like, I get it. My husband is of the mindset that you know, people that have deafblindness, they can do anything. And but I'm also coming from the other aspect of somebody who is like my husband. Deafblindness comes in many different forms. My husband was mainstream. He was not in a deaf residential school, and he did not learn sign language. And I really do believe of the whole total communication of everybody being able to communicate, whether that be somebody like my husband who is not accepted culturally. He's accepted, but then not really accepted by the deafblind community because he doesn't know sign language, but then also not accepted by the hearing world because he is, in their mind, he's deaf, he's blind, and so I'm kind of like in the middle. I feel like I'm more like a go-between to help people who are like my husband. There are other clients that are hard of hearing, but they're considered deaf. You know, looking at an audiologist report, they're considered, you know, moderate to severely deaf, and they really do need the services that are needed at CAN. They're isolated as well. They're not, I mean, not as isolated as somebody who has, you know, full deafness, but I really feel that my job is to help with all people to get the communication, the access that they need. But I do hear what you're saying. My husband and I, we totally believe that people need to be given an opportunity. They have skills, and they can speak to the situation where somebody as having vision and having hearing, we really truly can't see it except that we're living it through somebody else. So I can live it through my husband. I see the frustrations that he's going through. My brother is also blind and has an intellectual disability, and he's hard of hearing. So I see the situations that he's trying to live through too. So that's just kind of like how I feel. My job, I really do have a heart to help anyone who has any type of a disability or that is culturally deaf. That's just my heart, and I hate to see like lines drawn. I just want to facilitate everything, and I look forward to meeting everybody, and I look, just so you understand too, I do look at each person as an individual, and I look forward to working with everybody, and I hope that that came out not like offensive or anything. I'm hoping that the way that it's being presented is that I'm very inclusive of all people, and I just want people to know that about me.
Thank you. Madam Chair, that concludes the director's report, so we're on to reports from the chair and then the announcements, and just as a time check, we have the interpreters for 9 more minutes. So, Madam
and
Chair.
Brian, this is Lisa. I have a comment back to Margie. I wanted to be able to say something. You know, I just feel like it is time now to, you know, break down the barriers. As a deafblind person, you know, over the years, I wouldn't say anything, but I really felt that I needed to say something now. There is a culture within the deafblind community,
And it's very important that a person who is working with a deafblind person be aware of that culture. I understand that, you know, you are open and you work with all people, but there's a touch that is required, and there's cultural norms within that touch and how to touch. And I just want to be sure that you're aware of all that. Yeah, this is Margie. Yeah, I'm very aware. I did get an education, you know, at deaf studies, and I have many deaf friends, so I am aware of that. I'm not trying to draw lines or anything, but I'm very inclusive of all people, and hopefully, you know, people will see me that way as well.
This is Lisa again, another question for you.
Margie. I understand that you're very inclusive, but again, I want to be sure, this is very, very important to me, that you have an understanding of deafblind culture. And also, are you fluent in ASL? Are you fluent in the different communication styles within the deafblind community? You know, there are some deafblind persons who speak. There are some deafblind persons who use American Sign Language. And I just want to be sure that you're versed in all of the different types of communication and that you're fluent in sign language. Yes, this is Margie. I did go to school to learn sign language. I originally wanted to be an interpreter. I decided not to become an interpreter because I saw how it was just translating information to another, and being, you know, married to a man who is hard of hearing or in the world's eyes deaf, I saw that there'd be miscommunications all the time, and I would stop the conversation and I'd say, "He didn't understand you." My husband was thinking that the conversation was a certain way, but then it wasn't. So I knew as an interpreter I wouldn't be able to interrupt and stop it. So I decided I backed out of being an interpreter. I am very aware of the different types of communication modes, and I also have worked with different people in Massachusetts that use the SST services that communicate different ways. So I'm very aware. I haven't used sign language for almost a year, so if I don't use it, I lose it. I'm looking forward to rebuilding my skills back again, and I will do my best to facilitate anything, you know, any communication that people have.
Madam Chair, you're almost about ready to lose the interpreters based on the time, so I would ask that you take charge of the agenda.
Okay, Brian, so now we will
This okay. is Brian, you're on a report from the chair.
Again, this is Lisa. I just want to say that I'm disappointed that you hired a hearing person. I realize, you know, you're
trying
to work. I want to understand that there is so much that is necessary as a deafblind person. I want to be sure that this person is fully aware of deafblind culture, and I was really looking forward to working with a deafblind person, a deafblind social worker, and I just want you to understand right now how I'm feeling about this hiring.
I would like to interrupt as the Adult Services Program Supervisor. This position was advertised in accordance with state guidelines and regulations. We interviewed quite a number of candidates. We were required to consider not just the needs of the deafblind community, but also the needs of all of our clients. We at present have only 5 case managers, having added Margie and one of her colleagues. And so I want to make it clear that we picked the best 2 candidates from among those who applied for these positions. and I don't think it's productive any longer to dwell on our not having hired a person with deafblindness. We advertised, we hired our two most qualified candidates, and we're going to go forth and do our absolute best to serve every client with legal blindness in the state.
This is Brian. I must chime in because the interpreters are going to be gone in 3 minutes, which means this meeting must adjourn in 3 minutes. So, Madam Chair, I have to turn
okay.
the meeting back
All
to
right.
you.
May we have a vote to adjourn?
You need a motion, Madam Chair.
A motion, I'm sorry.
This is Eric. I motion from Zoom. This is Eric. I make a motion. I make a motion. Hi, this is Eric. I make a motion to adjourn.
This is Karen Olson.
One second.
Okay. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for coming. It has been certainly a challenging time, but we have covered so much. I appreciate for the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for conducting the meeting. Very much appreciated.
Thank you.